Hello, this is Jim Pursley, pastor of Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana. I want to take a moment on behalf of the congregation at Sovereign Christ to thank you for listening to our sovereignty series that we've placed on the web. We hope that you found this exceedingly enjoyable and interesting and faith-building. We hope it's been grace-giving to you, and it's our desire that you would be refreshed in your faith and your love for the Lord as you listen to this series. We're continuing our series this week with a message entitled Enjoying the Sovereign and Happy God. Now keep in mind, this is a summary of the message that was preached on May 6, 2012. But if you would turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 63, we're going to read verses 1 through 8. It'll be well worth our time. And I want you to think about and look into the mind and the heart of David as he wrote this psalm, expressing his absolute delight and joy in the Lord. And if you read many of the psalms, you can see this, that there was such an awe and a wonder as David exalted in God. As he looked forward to this Savior that God would provide for him. He looked forward to Christ. We look back, but oh, how he adored the heart of God. O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. I have seen you in the sanctuary and beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips will glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods. With singing lips, my mouth will praise you. On my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. My soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. What do you think of when you consider the enjoyment of God? That you could actually enjoy God. I think the Westminster Confession of Faith is right when it says the chief end of man is to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. John Piper, the pastor of Bethlehem Baptist Church in Minneapolis, Minnesota, has changed that somewhat, and I would have to agree with him that the chief end of man is to glorify God by enjoying Him forever. By enjoying Him forever. One little word makes a big difference. But when you think of the enjoyment of God, or your enjoyment of God, do you find that something that your soul wants to kick against, or do you find yourself oddly and strangely opened up to this notion that you, a creature, could enjoy the sovereign God? We enjoy Him. I think it's our duty, the chief end of man, but it's our privilege. It's our blood-bought privilege to enjoy God, to enjoy Him, not like a commodity or a gift you might find under a Christmas tree or a thing that you might enjoy playing with or doing, but enjoying Him as a person, enjoying His person, loving Him for His attributes, His character, and His nature, wanting to be near Him, wanting to hear Him speak through the Word, wanting to pray to Him, wanting to worship Him, wanting to remember His sacrifice in His Son, where the blood was shed for our purchase, our redemption, and for the gift of the Holy Spirit who has brought us from death to life and made this salvation apply to our lives. Enjoying God in every aspect. Enjoying Him through the church. Through brothers and sisters in Christ. The commonality we have together in the blood of Jesus Christ. God is sovereign. God is in complete control of all things. God, though, is, I think, most happy and most joyful. I'm not the first to say that, of course. Many people, for hundreds of years, have written regarding the happiness of God. Well, how can we say that God is the most blessed and most happy, most joyful God? Well, look at Psalm 115, verse 3. Says here, our God is in heaven. He does whatever pleases Him. our God is in heaven. Now, that alone wouldn't necessarily make us think that God is the happiest and most blessed. But when it says he does whatever pleases him, we begin to see, or we should see, or at least unpack this and understand, he does whatever pleases him. Nothing hinders him from accomplishing all his will and all his purpose, his eternal purpose. Nothing hinders him. So God is not frustrated. Therefore, God is happy. But nothing frustrates him. Nothing can thwart his plans, as Job said in chapter 42. So it would make sense that God is most happy. He rules over a people according to his character and nature, accomplishing his eternal plan and purpose. Now think about it personally. God rules over a people which he chose before the foundation of the world. In his plan, he saved a people in Christ before the world was ever created. Then, in God's sacrifice, that is, through the blood of Jesus Christ shed, a people, his people, was saved when Christ died and when he was raised. And these same people are being saved according to the eternal will of God, being saved by God's preserving and sanctifying grace exercised on us and in us, through us, for us, by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think because of this, we should be, as David, enjoying God. Now, God enjoys himself. At least that's what Jonathan Edwards had to say. Many others have concluded this as well. It's been worded like this. I forget where I read this before, but I thought it was really appropriate. I think it was John Piper. The chief end of God is to glorify God and enjoy himself forever. Now, if we think like fallen individuals, and if we think according to our sinful nature, and if we think according to our limited human capacity, we would see that statement that God, the chief end of God is to glorify God and enjoy himself forever. We might find that to be very arrogant. But God is able, for he is holy and he's blameless. He's perfect in all his righteousness. Everything he does is good. And so, and the psalmist says that God is in heaven. He does whatsoever he pleases. Everything he pleases is good. Everything he pleases is pure. Everything he pleases is holy and righteous. God does what pleases him. He does whatever makes him happy, and there's nothing to frustrate him. And this is what it means to say that God is sovereign. He does whatever he pleases, and nothing, no one, no plan, nothing can frustrate or thwart God's plan. God is sovereign. God can do anything he pleases, and he's happy because nothing can frustrate him. I would turn your attention to Psalm 33, verses 10 and 11, and to see that once again, the scripture I just wanted to draw our attention to another scripture that says that nothing thwarts God's plan. The Lord foils the plans of the nations. He thwarts the purposes of the peoples. But the plans of the Lord stand firm forever, the purposes of his heart through all generations. Now, if none of his purposes can be frustrated, if no one can thwart his plans, and if his plans stand firm forever, then God must be the happiest, as John Piper says, the happiest of all beings. This infinite divine happiness is the fountain from which the Christian, who desires God above all else, this is the fountain from which the Christian drinks and longs to drink more deeply. And if God were frustrated, if his plans could be thwarted, if he was irritable all the time, if he was threatened and felt threatened, then I wonder, would David have felt this outpouring of his heart to know God and enjoy God as he did in Psalm 63, would he truly have said, "Oh God, you are my God. Early in the morning will I seek thee." Maybe he would have been like that many of us, myself included, that oftentimes early in the morning, the first thing I seek is my email or my Facebook. And I want to see what others are doing and what others have said. But David said, "Early will I seek thee, my soul thirsteth for thee, my flesh longeth for thee, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." His first thought was for his soul, and that the fact that God alone could meet the need of his soul, that only God could satisfy the longing of his soul. As if he lived recognizing the fact that where he lived, the world in which he lived at the time, was like a dry, thirsty land. Now David was in a desert, reflecting on his desert experience when he was fleeing from Saul. But nevertheless, we can make the connection, I think, that we live in a world that is dry and thirsty like a desert. There is no water. There is truly nothing that we can pursue on this earth, in this world, apart from God, that will satisfy the longing and the thirsting of our soul. We can truly join David in enjoying God. Notice God is not frustrated by our enjoyment of him. He is not repulsed by our pursuit of him. He's never frustrated by our failure to pursue him. He's never frustrated or irritated by our failure to obey. God is a happy God continually. And because he is happy, he is blessed. He is the most blessed. He is the happy, blessed God because he is sovereign. Your decisions and my decisions to seek out Facebook or email or friends or anything else over taking precedence over God will not frustrate and irritate God. So if that's the case, would you not want to be near him, the God who is not frustrated by your failure, but would you not instead want to know him better and understand him more? And to seek after him with all of your heart and join David as David sought him with all of his heart? Would we know the happy, sovereign God? Would we be those who enjoy God? I would love to. And wouldn't you like to know how? Well, God has provided means through which and by which, using these means, we can know him and enjoy him and abound in grace that we might behold him. At Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church, it's our desire for us and for others to behold the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ. So we start looking for means that God provides, that God has shown us, are beneficial for our enjoyment of him. Now, historically, these were called means of grace, and I think that's a good terminology to use. These means of grace are God's gifts to aid us in cultivating the Spirit in our lives so that we can walk with God in peace and joy, that we might know him better, and in all respects, in every area of our lives, that we might live lives that show forth an adoration of the triune God, that our lives would show an exaltation of the triune God, that we would find our full delight and happiness in the happy, sovereign God. And that doesn't mean we won't have troubles or trials, but through the use of the means of grace, we will be reminded of the eternally blessed and happy God that we have come to know through faith in Jesus Christ as God has opened our eyes to see him. Well, what are these means of grace? The means of grace that we're going to look at anyway today, the means of the Word, prayer, communion, service, and fellowship. How is the Word useful, the Scriptures useful for helping us to know the God who is most happy, most blessed? It's the Word of God, the Scriptures that the Spirit works in our lives to transform us. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, Paul was writing to these Thessalonians and reminding them the Word of God works in their lives. It's the Word of God at work. So the Word works in our lives to cultivate the transformative work of the Spirit. We need the Scriptures. William Tyndale wrote, "The Scripture is a light, and the Scripture shows us the true way both what to do and what to hope for, and a defense from all error, and a comfort in adversity, that we may despair not, that we despair not, and feareth us in prosperity, that we may not sin. In other words, to live a right and balanced life, thinking properly, as God has shown us how to think through His Word, and He gives us the Spirit to work through the Word in our hearts that we might know Him. So the first means of grace which God gives us for our enjoyment of Him is the Scripture. Don't forsake the reading of Scripture. The second is prayer. We walk with God through prayer. We talk with God through prayer. So often we're frustrated in prayer, but it's the very thing that we must at least pray for the Spirit to help us to pray, to know the joy of God. I like what John Bunyan wrote regarding prayer. The fact that this great Puritan writer was so frustrated in his prayer life. He didn't know what to pray, so he would pray to have grace to know what to pray. He was blind, he thought, to his own needs and blind to the needs of others. So he prayed to God to illumine his heart through the Spirit and the Word that he might be able to pray. Oh, that we would pray to pray. Most of us struggle with prayer, but that we would know the joy of God as we pray and know this God as David knew Him and expressed this knowing in Psalm 63. Then there's communion, this means of grace that we might know God better. Ann Dutton, who wrote and commented on the great Puritan works of the 1700s, she herself was a contemporary of them, wrote regarding communion, "The King is pleased to sit with us." It's the Lord's table. It's not Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship's table. It's the Lord's table. He is the one who speaks to us. He is the one who ministers grace to us. As we remember His body broken and His blood shed, and how we commune with Him by remembering this great sacrifice of His for us that we might live. And then there's service, a means of grace that we might know and understand the power of God working and the power of the gospel to save people. So a gospel-motivated service for the joy of the nations is an excellent means that God has given us that we might enjoy Him and glorify Him and find Him to be rich and full, satisfying all of our needs. And finally, in closing, the fifth means that we identify today is fellowship. Fellowship one with another. One's, you might call it dwelling together in community as a body of believers. But fellowship is a great means to keep us having union with your brothers and sisters in Christ who have been bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. In the fellowship of believers, as we believe here at Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship, it's a perfect place where we can lavish grace one toward the other, where we can show mercy, where we can love each other, and have deep and abiding friendships based on our commonality in the blood of Jesus Christ. So could we enjoy God? Would you enjoy God? Oh, that you would know Him better and make use of the means that He has given. We might be like David and thirst for Him and pursue Him early in the morning, at the noonday, and all day long. And that we would be a people known for joy, the joy of the Lord. Thank you for listening to this message. Stay tuned to our website for more of these messages from our series on the sovereignty of God.